Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
You may be seated, and we do have notes that are coming around to you, and we'll pass those out before we read the text. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate you. Prophetess Jane Hammond came and shared with us the word of the Lord at our power conference, formerly known as our prophetic conference, which we've had for almost 20 years, I think. Is that right, Pastor Karen, keeper of the dates? Calculating approximately 20 years. And we called it the prophetic conference for years, and the Hammonds have come to us a couple of times. And they said, we can't miss this next year. We're coming back. So we invited them. They'll be back with us in next February. And she prophesied this powerful word. Go ahead and put it on the screen if you're able. Thank you so much. And we've been reading this, and we're going to go ahead and do it again. And then I'll summarize just kind of where we've been going and the thrust of this series, and then set up the final text from 2 Kings chapter 13. Are you ready? Let's read it out loud with heart. We declare today we are crossing over into our new season of breakthrough here at Kings. We receive a new mantle for a new day. We are making way for the King of Glory to come here in Wasilla and throughout this state and the world. Leviathan is now under our feet. Resistance is broken. A fresh anointing is here. We decree we are yoke breakers and curse destroyers because of the Holy Ghost lives in us. Souls will be saved. Bodies will be healed. Families will be reconciled. Prodigals will come home. This building will be paid off in record time because of all the financial miracles of all the people. We receive our double portion mantle from this point forward. Jesus be glorified in all we do and say, in your name we decree it all. Shout to God one more time. Glory. So the word mantle we looked at and been doing a study, and the first time you see that is when Elijah takes his mantle, his cloak, if you will, depends on what version you read, and he wraps his face in it. He's just destroyed the prophets of Baal, but he's run because of one woman with makeup, and there are women with makeup that you should run from, and apparently there's men with makeup you should also run from too. He runs from Jezebel. Might get in trouble tonight. Just never know what's going to happen. So he runs and he's tired. He's exhausted. And an angel comes, an Iron Chef angel comes and makes him food. And he eats and he naps and he rests. And eventually, I'm summarizing very quickly, he goes to the mountain of God in the strength that he has for 40 days. At the mountain of God, and he's in the mountain, and the wind rips into the mountain, and the fire rips into the mountain, and God wasn't in the wind, and he wasn't in the fire, and then there was this still small voice. And it's in that text that Elijah wraps his face in his cloak. The word in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, is atareth. It's like a stole, is the Greek word. Maybe atareth is the Hebrew. I need to go look, forgive me. But you can go study for yourself. How many of you had a grandmother that had a stole on? She just, it's kind of like a little blankie, over your shoulder. Well, it was that he would wrap in his face. It is said that it was kept in a golden box all during the time until John the Baptist came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was a priest, and it is said by some that he took the mantle of Elijah and gave it to his son, who was a prophet, fulfilling the prophetic word that the voice of the wilderness, one crying out, "Make straight, prepare ye the way of the Lord," the friend of the bridegroom, John the Baptist. So we've been talking about this mantle and what it means. It's the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these two prophets, mainly Elijah and then Elisha, and how that working of the Spirit can operate in our lives so that we can walk in something new, something fresh, something more powerful than we've ever walked in before. And the prophetic word from Prophetess Jane having this double portion mantle, which is what Elisha received from Elijah, a double portion. And we come to this final message from 2 Kings. If you missed last week's, it's worth listening to. And any word that's worth listening to is worth listening to four or five times. I was talking to evangelist John Duke, Anna and daughter, wonderful to see you in a service tonight. I was talking to evangelist John, and he was telling me, and I have an ETS program, it's called the ETS, Eat the Scroll. It comes from Jeremiah, and it's another place in Scripture. Daily, about 4 months before COVID hit and all the lockdowns, the Lord told me to do a daily program in the middle of the day at 12:30. So we started this 12:30 program. Sometimes it goes for 15 minutes. The most it's half an hour. And sometimes it's just 3 or 4 minutes, 6 minutes. Other times it's like a travel vlog where I'm going through an airport and I'm not able to do a teaching, but I prefer to get in the Word. So we started that about 4 months before the scamdemic. And then when we got into that, there was hundreds of people that began to watch it, and I just had never stopped. I just kept doing it. It's become part of my routine. There are occasions where I'll miss or I get delayed and not able to get that out. But today with evangelist John, we were talking about his testimony. And he said a very powerful thing. He said that, you know, I was witness to us at the end of my rope. My wife dragged me to church. You prophesied stuff over me that I was so angry because I knew she told you everything, which is hysterical, because that would be a special place in hell if somebody fed us lines that we then used to manipulate you to love God. That would be so wrong, so wicked, and you'd stand before the judgment seat on that one. Actually, you'd probably just go to Sheol. Anyway. We didn't do that. We don't do that. And John got greatly affected, and he ran into our beloved Mike Sisson in the supermarket, and Mike witnessed to him. And he basically, the word went in, and in a moment of desperation in his bathroom at home, he was going to take his life. And he said to the Lord, "Lord, if you love me, then you can stop me then." And God spoke to him. And I'm paraphrasing. You could read it in the book if you could finish it. Get that out. God says, "I love you. If you'll flush that addiction down the toilet, I'll take you." So he did. He flushed all his drugs down the toilet. The power of God hit him. And then John did something I wish that I did it. He just came and never left. He came and submersed himself in everything we had, every service, morning prayer. Amen. That's God's witness right there. That's what he did. And he's submersed, and he would listen to messages, and he would call and ask me questions and stuff. If you'll go deep in God, God will go deep in you. If you listen to messages, I said all of that to say, these messages are worth listening to over and over and over again. Take notes, write them down, and not just my preaching, any good teaching and preaching of God's word, read the word, get it down in you, get changed. Come on, average male watching 6 hours of TV every night, 6 hours. And then I have people say, "Yeah, I can't come. Yeah, it's busy. But they're glued to Netflix until 1 a.m. Let's go. 2 Kings, stand up on your feet if you would. 2 Kings 13. So the last message about this timing of God, God moments, these moments, Kairos moments, and now this unusual two verses of Scripture for our final text. Now, the Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders, so they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. And when the body touched Elijah's bones, that means he had been there a while, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Move in power. Amen. You may be seated. What a text. So Elisha is known as the man who has the double portion. He has the double portion of Elijah. He did literally, Elijah did 7 miracles. Everybody say seven. Seven miracles. Double portion would mean 14 miracles Elisha does. So double means double. And he has his double portion mantle. He's just gone through, well, he's dead now, a sickness that would kill him. And we looked at this. A sickness comes upon him, and he's going to die, but he longs to impart to the king victory. And he see him put the hands, this is the verses prior and yet last week's message. He puts his hands on the king's hands, and the king draws back the arrow. And it's the arrow of victory over Aram, and he shoots the arrow, and it's this prophetic moment. It's powerful. But the king doesn't understand the moment that he's in, so he's nonchalant. He's lackadaisical about his response to the word, And some of you might be like that. Some of you are like, well, I just don't feel like, you know. You hear a word from God, respond fervently with it. Take it, take it. Make it your own. Pray it. Prophesy over your own life. Wage a good warfare, said Paul to Timothy, his spiritual son. Wage a good warfare over the prophetic word spoken in your life. So there's a war going on, and you got to take the word and you got to wage a warfare with it. And so the king doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. And he misses it. He was backslidden anyway, if you look at the verses prior. And I think the prophet, for love of God and the love of his people, wanted to give victory to them over the enemies of God. But the king blew it. And there's this rebuke, you should have struck the ground more than three times. You should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times, but now you'll only win 3 times, and he dies. And you'd wish that you could be like, wait, can I do that over? Can I retest? You know, thank God for retests. But there's no retests at times. There's times when God speaks, and if you don't grab it, finito, which is finished in some language. I don't know which one. Italian, maybe. Okay, thank you. This text, Elijah dies. He's dead. So the text prior, verses prior, tells us that he's going to die, and in fact, he does. And they have a burial, probably in a cave. I'm writing the notes. That's common. He'd be put in a cave, most likely. And he's in a cave. And because of this Moabite raiding party, comes in the midst of a funeral. I mean, can you imagine? I was just at a celebration of life. I remember reading a T-shirt. Live for God, don't make your pastor lie. If you don't live for God, I ain't gonna lie for you. I'm just gonna tell you so. Okay, that's funny for all the pastors in the room. They have a funeral, and they're having a burial, and they look, and they see the raiding party come, and they freak out, they panic. So they take the dead guy and they quickly end the funeral. Just throw him in the cave. And they throw him in the cave and they run. But it's the cave that Elijah's buried in. And when that boy's body hits Elijah's body, it comes back to life. I mean, it's an unusual passage of scripture, and you got to ask yourself, what is that all about? So because of the Moabite raiding party, they wanted to dispose the body quickly. And when the body touches Elijah's bones, the man comes back to life. So what is this text about? Well, the first thing is, understand, there's nothing special about an anointed man or an anointed woman's bones. In other words, don't go grave sucking. No, that's a thing. That was a thing. Did anybody ever hear about that? Okay, just put it out of your mind because it's not of God. You say, well, what about that right there? Well, you have to be dead. So if you're actually going to apply this, you would have to be dead first. Don't take that too far. But I think this is a text that the medieval church used, mixing it with occult practices and witchcraft. The medieval church would take bones of the saints. I mean, you can go to Europe and cathedrals now in Europe, and you can see these bones. And they got the metatarsals of Saint Susie, and they have the phalanges all wrapped in gold, and it is stuff that you come and you touch it. There's some special power. I mean, they have the skulls and jawbone and ankle bone and the hip bone. And anybody seen all that? You heard of that before? And they're all over Europe. And some shuckster, I think that's Yiddish, hopefully it's not a curse, gets the idea that you could raise a lot of money from these little bones of saints. It could be that there are some that say that they got it from this text right here. But what they would do is you would pay to see the bone or touch the bone, and then you would get indulgences also. How many of you know what an indulgence is? Okay. Indulgences was something that was invented by the Catholic Church to raise money for St. Peter's Basilica. Aren't you glad we didn't sell indulgences to build this building? Amen. Somebody said, you can sell bricks and raise money. I know, and we didn't. And I don't know, maybe we'll do some creative thing to memorialize stuff. I don't know. I just felt like we're going to give, God's going to provide. And we didn't hire. Somebody said, you should have hired a professional fundraiser. Well, when you build your church building, you can do that. We had the opportunity to do that, and I saw how much they got paid to do it, and I thought, no. I mean, that 10, 15% of everything that comes in or more goes to the professional fundraiser. No. I don't know. I didn't like that. You might like that. I didn't like it. We just pushed God. We still have 28 million. You spell 20, T-W-E-N-T-Y, 28. I don't know how to spell 8. Put it together, and then million. I don't know how to spell that either. Put it together on a check, and you can pay off the whole building. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But that's what they did to raise money, and they raised a lot of money. They sold a lie, a bill of goods, about a place called this intermediary place, purgatory, that if you lived like the devil, you could go to purgatory and work off your sin. And if you have somebody that's alive in the earth and Uncle, Black Jack is in purgatory, your Uncle Jack, who was not real nice, he probably didn't go to heaven, didn't serve God, oh no. So he's probably in hell. Well, if he's in purgatory working things off, you can pay money and then get him out. How many of you know that is not a biblical model? Okay, but they use that to manipulate people to raise money. And they would take the bones of, this saint and that saint. And that is not what this is saying. Everybody say that's not saying this. Okay. It's enterprising and creative and totally unbiblical and horrible. And if it was true, You'd see people, you know, you'd see the bones of Peter being, I mean, you'd see it in the New Testament, wouldn't you? Would you see? And after Andrew was martyred, they took him and rubbed his bones all over everybody so that he would have courage as a martyr. That martyrdom would be transferred and imparted into everybody through the leg bone of James. Now, that doesn't say that. It doesn't ever say that because it's not biblical. And there was a bunch of people who would go sit on top of the grave of, I don't know, Smith Wigglesworth, for instance, and just be like, I received the Wigglesworth anointing. Don't do that. Everybody say, don't do it. All right. You know how Wigglesworth got anointed? God showed him things. He prayed. God put a special touch. You get up at 3 a.m. and pray till 5 and then read the word. And I mean, he's just a unique man. And there's lots of unique men and women in history. Get your own anointing. Don't try to suck it out of some dead's place. How'd you get anointed? Laying on top of graves. That's weird, man. Come on, someone say that's weird. There's a fascination with death, and it's not biblical. And there are some churches that were accused of pushing grave sucking, but Bethel was accused of that, but it was not true at the highest levels. It wasn't. There might have been some students misguided that went and tried to suck energy and power off of people's graves, but Bill Johnson did not teach grave sucking. Just thought I'd set the record straight because there's a lot of that nonsense out. Bill Johnson is one of the most humble men of God that I know. And I don't know him very well, but I have met him and deeply respect him. This is a prophetic act, really. But you do have to ask why it was there. It's interesting when you read about the victory that God releases to Israel. He gives them 3 victories. Go study out the word that's given. Now you'll only win 3 times over Ram. And it's this picture of resurrection, of the resurrection of Israel, victory, even though they should have been dead, that they 3 times they should have died, but God gave them victory. It's a prophetic act for that. I think it's also a prophetic act of something else. Turn to Matthew 27. It's a prophetic act of our hero, our Savior, our King, our Lord, our God, Jesus. It's a prophetic act of Jesus rising from the grave. Can you say a better amen? In Matthew 27:50 and following, it says this, and Jesus cried out in a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. Then behold, a veil from the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of saints who had fallen asleep, which is death, were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Wow. Jesus has power over death. That's what that is. He tore death. He went down and he took the keys of hell, death, and the grave. And so when you look at this in 2 Kings 13, it's a prophetic act of the one who would rise again from the grave. It's a picture that the power of God, that death can't stop the power of God. Come on, say that. Death can't stop God's power. Death can't stop God's power. Try it again. Death can't stop God. Bump your neighbor and say, death can't stop God's power. That's true. Absolutely. God was saying what defined Elijah was the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the power that brought that dead man to life. It wasn't some virtue, though he had that, I believe, that Elijah had. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And when God's power would come upon Balaam's donkey spoke with the voice of a man. When the power of God came upon the weak, they become strong. When the power of God comes upon something that's dead, it can come back to life. When the power of God comes upon sickness, sickness has got to go. When the power of God is manifested on a drug addict, he no longer goes back to drugs. When the power of God comes on your marriage can get healed. When the power of God comes upon your life, it can change your life. When the power of God comes upon someone who's bound up in sexual confusion, confusion will lift. It is a demonic spirit that wants to destroy. Come on, that thing wants to destroy mankind, but God has given us the Holy Spirit to set the captives free. Can you say hallelujah in the house of God? Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. The same Spirit. Everybody say the same Spirit. Come on, put your hands on your chest and say the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of me. Come on, come on, say it again. Say the same Spirit. Come on, that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of me. Come on, say it again. Say the Spirit of Jesus. Resurrection power dwells on the inside of me so I can make it. I can be healed. I'm an overcomer. Even against death. Amen. It's a picture that he can make you brand new. It can make you new. I had privilege recently of sharing my testimony with some folks, which I don't do too often. And I don't know why. It's a pretty intense testimony. Not going to share it tonight. There was a time when I first got saved, I was sharing my testimony all the time. It's just kind of like, whoa, that was really intense. But then as decades have gone by, 20 plus years have gone by, 25 even, it's not something I share all the time. But when I do share my testimony, it's, I get people looking at me like, really? I would never have guessed that. That's right. Of course not, because I've been made new. Is there anybody else that's been made new? So if you see somebody that's broken, the down and outer, the up and outer, it doesn't matter where they are. You can be made new. That's what Jesus does. He'll take your life and he'll change you. He'll heal you. He'll set you free. Come on, he's God. That's what I love about him, as I've said it so many times before. If it's lost, he can find it. If it's broken, he can fix it. If it's sick, he can heal it. If it's dead, he can raise it up. He's God. He's God. He's God. He's God. If you need to be made new tonight, you've come to the right place. You said, Pastor, you don't know what's happened to me. No, I don't. No, but you might not understand the power of the Holy Spirit that's able to change you. You said, well, no, you don't understand. No, you need to stick around. Need to submerge yourself. Need to get in the Word. Need to learn the Word. Need to drive out every lie. You can't afford to have thoughts in your head towards yourself, towards your situation, towards your circumstances that God doesn't have. Let me say that again. You cannot afford to have thoughts in your head towards your life, towards your marriage, towards your kids, towards your money, towards your situation that God doesn't have. You need to take every thought that's not of God and make it captive and throw it down, cast it down, reckon it dead, and begin to live a new life renewed in the mind, by the mind of Christ, by the Word of God. You need to renew your mind. I got like one amen from the Portuguese guy on the front. Come on, somebody. God bless Portugal and Brazil. But come on, God can change you. Come on, say he can change me. We can make a difference. We can make a difference. We can leave a legacy. You're going to die.
I thought that you just said that Jesus has power over death.
Yes, ultimate death, separation from God. But there's a limit to life on the earth here. And then you, when you die, you're going to live forever. Where you live forever is dependent upon whether you've made a decision to live for Jesus, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The only sin he can't forgive you of, there's only one sin he cannot forgive you of. He can't. And that's the sin of rejecting his son, Jesus. That's it. You reject Jesus, he can't forgive you of that. Everything else, come from a long line of pimps and prostitutes, he can forgive that. Come from a long line of heretics, he can forgive that. He can, wherever you come from, he can forgive that. It does not matter where you're from. What matters is if you've received Jesus and repented of your sin and been born again. You must be born again. You need to make a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and then live the new life. You say, oh, I prayed that prayer and it didn't work. That's because you didn't repent. You didn't really repent, because when you really repent, rethink, you begin to think differently. You change people, places, things. You shift. You begin to think differently. And he takes out the heart of stone and he puts in the heart of flesh and he changes you from the inside. The inside out. That process is called sanctification. But if you've never given your heart to Jesus, that's the first step. That's what this text is about. This text is about power over death. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. It's about resurrection life. And it's about making a difference even after you're dead. I love that. You're going to leave a legacy. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? What will people say about you when you're gone? Because you're going to go. When you go, what will they say? What will they say? Bump your neighbor and wake your neighbor up. Go say, wake up. You're going to leave a legacy. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? I was inspired today by William Wilberforce, which is, and I need to go look at the dates of his life. How many of you know who William Wilberforce was? What inspired me was how he stood against slavery in Great Britain for over 20 years and finally got it reversed and made illegal for 20 years. And what inspired me was, as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, I want to make a difference like that. I want to make a difference. He said, well, slavery doesn't exist anymore. Well, not like it did, but it still exists. And there's abortion. And now this, raise your hand if you understand what I'm saying. This transgenderism thing is absolutely unbelievable. It's a religion. Oh, it's a religion. It's satanic, it's demonic completely, it's destroying. Who would sign their kids up to be mutilated? Oh, who would do that? Who would do that? Sign your children up to be castrated. Oh, I know, it's a little edgy tonight. When you think it's gonna go away, would it just be quiet? Like, I hope that goes away. Well, slavery wouldn't have gone away in England if there wasn't a Wilberforce that said, change this. And rallied and fought 20 years. In fact, in reading his biography a little bit and thinking about that today, it made me say to Mayor Edna, what else can I do? Yeah. I'm thankful to preach to a few hundred people, 300-400 people tonight. Thank God, all those online. How can I inspire you somehow to take the power of the Holy Ghost and change your life, but not just your life, change your family, change your community, change your neighborhood, change the state? How can I inspire you somehow be like a William Wilberforce so that when your life is over, you've left a mark and not a skid mark? A mark from heaven. My God, lift your hands to heaven. Think about William Carey, 1792, missionary to India. He inspired a whole missionary movement. In fact, Pastor Josh, I think Pastor Josh's middle name is Carey. It's named after William Carey, great missionary to India. Think about David Livingstone, African missionary in Britain, also his efforts released thousands of missionaries. What could your life do? What could your life do? The book that you write. Write the book. Tell the story. Take a stand. It'll go down in history that you were a slug. Oh, but you had a lot of likers, and you had a mean score on Call of Duty. No, and I think gamers can get influence and make a difference. I'm not saying anything against that. And that can happen. And I know that there's social media influencers, but for the love of God, use your influence for the kingdom of God. You'll stand before God for it. Don't just have it be about food and clothing and stuff. You're going to leave a legacy. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? When people think about you, when you're gone, what will they remember? Will you inspire lives? You're not here to, not here just to eat dinner. Go to work. Watch Netflix. Watch some TV. Check your Facebook. And fall asleep with your phone in your hand, looking at reels. And then do it all over 52 weeks a year. A couple moments. Bright moments where God tries to get your attention. Like right now. You say, well, I couldn't get educated. That's you. That's on you. Hello. That's on you. You can get all the education through free. I mean, you go to YouTube. You can, my gosh, I'm not even sure we should, I'm like out there tonight, so. I'm not even sure we should send our kids to universities anymore because I don't, it's so bad. It's so evil. It's so perverse. That's why I said to those students, if you were here on a Sunday night, we honored graduates, no, Sunday morning, honored high school graduates. I said to the high school graduates in the second service, I made them all look at me. I said, you all read Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, learn to think critically and understand your faith. No things, because you're going to have people that come to attack your faith. Yeah. Come on, can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Can I get a witness? Yeah. It's the mouse that roared. 30 people make decisions. I'm getting convicted right now. 30, I mean, Jesus. People made decisions about how tight my jeans are. And they probably don't serve God. Where are the fashion designers that are full of faith, full of zeal, full of passion? You're gonna be like, I want to sign up for that. I want everybody in burlap sacks. Should all wear burlap sacks. Burlap looks good on everybody. Oh my goodness. Let's lift your hands again until I figure out where I'm at. Come on, pray in tongues. Come on, just rejoice for a moment. Is it hot in here? No, it is, and it's conviction. You guys are being convicted right now. It's impossible for it to be hot. We have a system that keeps it exactly perfect. I'm talking about leaving a legacy. William Seymour rented a livery stable. William Seymour, what a sense of humor. A one-eyed black man. And he sees more. And he started a prayer meeting in Los Angeles, at Azusa Street, that it is said the impact of that prayer meeting that then became services and a great outpouring of revival, it is said that it is touched from that one, and I've been there, I've driven by there, from that one place, over 300 million people have been impacted by William One-Eyed Black Man, who was not even allowed in the meetings with Charles Parham. He had to sit outside. You want to talk about racism and segregation? He had all that. He says, this is fine, as long as I can hear. He heard and brought more fruit. What's God going to do with you? I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm moving to my later 50s now. I still feel like a spring chicken, but I know I'm not. Especially early in the morning before morning prayer. There's no spring chicken feeling I'm having. And so I'm looking at my life and I'm saying, okay, all right, I'm serving God longer now than when I wasn't. And I'm saying, okay, I have this period of time. I'm going for 120. I'm going to go in full strength. I'm believing God to finish my race. I'm looking at my life going, oh man, we've got to make a bigger impact than this. We've got to do something. I got to do something. Not a matter of works. It's not I have to do something so I can make money. I have to do something so I get fame. That's broken off. I got rid of that. That's a bondage. That is a bondage. A doing ministry or doing marketplace with a worldly ambition on it so that you can be the man. Oh, that's idolatry. I got that broken off. I'm never going back there. I'm not in it for a popularity contest. I feel deeply loved. I know I'm also hated. I don't care. I'm going to do what God called me to do. Gonna keep on keeping on. Gonna proclaim, gonna do it. But I want to make an impact, not for me, for God. Lord, considering what you've done for me. Oh, God, let me do something. You said you are. Well, maybe. I refuse to let that spirit in this state. Amen. I refuse, Mayor. So what are you going to do? Everything I can. I'm not going to make every service about that. We're going to make it about the kingdom of God. But you also have to speak up. I'm done with Target. I was at a funeral, it's a celebration of life, and the guy liked Bud Light. In fact, I know he likes Bud Light because in the pictures you can see it at barbecues, there's a Bud Light there. And so they're eulogizing this man and talking about him, and they said, I know, Dad, he's in heaven with a Bud Light in his hand. No, he don't have no Bud Light in his hand now. No, he doesn't have a Bud Light anymore. I just thought it was funny. On one hand, we must stand. What kind of legacy are we going to leave? John Cartwright, a circuit riding Methodist preacher, rode a horse. They would ride horses and wear out saddles. Any horse people here? Okay. You know what it takes to wear out a saddle? A whole lot of riding. And he would wear out 3 saddles a year, thousands of miles on a horse. He said, well, they make saddles better now. Whatever. The point is that he would ride into towns and preach the gospel. It is reported that he rode into one town in Kentucky, and he rode in, and there was a square dance going on in town, and he walked into the square dance so grieved at all of the drunkenness and everything that was happening. He went into the middle of the dance floor and he lifted his voice, oh God! And the fire of heaven fell and the people in the square dance all fell out and there was a revival that hit that town and he began to lead people to Jesus. Where are the John Cartwrights that don't really care? I believe he's raising some of them up right here. What kind of legacy will you leave? Lastly, I can't help but think about Gehazi, who was the servant of Elisha, and he forfeited the mantle, he forfeited the impartation, he forfeited what was going to be handed to him because of greed, and he lost out. And you can forfeit. You can forfeit what God has for you by greed, by, you can abort God's plan. I can't help but think that what was in the bones of that man that got released to that guy, can you imagine the guy who's dead? He hits it. What the? What's going on? Can you imagine all of a sudden you're awake and you're rolling around in some guy's bones? I mean, like, where am I? I've been tired before, but woken up and not know where I was. But I mean, that would be pretty extreme. You're so tired, you're dead, actually. And you get up and you're in the midst of a bunch of bones. But I can't help but think, Pastor Gill, that the anointing that was resident in those bones was supposed to be passed on to someone else, but someone forfeited it. You're not going to forfeit yours. I'm not going to forfeit mine. Will you? Will you fulfill what God called you to do? Will you pick up the double portion, the double mantle? Will you do it? What does that look like? It looks like praying. It looks like going. It looks like serving. It looks like reading the Word. It looks like picking up a guide and plugging in. You say it's summer. Okay, it's summer. All right, you're not going to fish every week. Oh, Nick. Okay, maybe you are. Okay. Find a place to grow. Find a place to serve. Find a place to fire yourself up, to make an impact. Get one of those applications. Be a member of that thing and change it. And if you got questions about that, ask. I don't have the whole story, but I have sufficient enough evidence to know that this is one of the ways that dark money is being funneled in through healthcare organizations. Lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Ghost, come right now. Keys, please. Holy Spirit, come. Release your power upon us as your people, the flock in your care. I pray, release a glorious burden upon each and every one of us. Lord, we wouldn't just be cute Christians and just wave a white flag of surrender. Oh, won't you come back, Jesus? Just come back, come back, God, come back. You know he's going to come back when he does. I don't know when that is, but it seems like we're closer than when we first believed. Between now and then, let's take as many people with us as we can. Let's stand up.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.